Blog Talk Radio.
Today's message is how to cleanse our minds. We're going to focus on an incredible teaching out of Psalms chapter 119, verses 9 through 6. You know, this is a lost and fallen world, and it's full of perversions of every kind, no matter where we turn. You know, so how do we keep our minds clean? You know, men have searched high and wide, you know, from caves and deserts. In fact, the first monks were out in the desert in the Middle East. They've been on remote islands and on tops of mountains. If you look at some of the pictures where monasteries, which came from these cave dwellers in the early church, those desert cave dwellers, if you would look at places where monasteries would be built, I mean, it's incredible. Sometimes they're on the top of this little pinnacle. You know what I'm talking about. And then men have sat and knelt on broken glass and pierced themselves and with flesh hooks, big flesh hooks, and hung from ropes with these flesh hooks in them. They're called the flagellists, you know, and they've endured all sorts of self-inflicted pain and this self-punishment to get pure, yet no results. If you've ever seen the Showtime series Borgia, and I'm not recommending it, we put a couple episodes on, and It was good at first, but it got really trashy. But anyways, Pope Alexander's son, yes, his son, Cesare, was a flagellist. And he was, yeah, they'd show scenes at the start of each show where he was, like, whipping himself. So everybody tries so many different ways to do it. You know, now Jesus Christ told that woman who committed the sin of adultery and was about to be stoned that her sins had been forgiven and go and sin no more. Now, if he didn't provide a way for her to escape those clutches, you know, of her continual and habitual sin, why would he have said that? And how about when Jesus said over in the Gospel of Matthew, I think it was chapter 5, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery already with her in his heart? Well, why would he have said those things if he didn't provide a way out? Well, praise God, because there is a way to righteousness and holy living and a pure life. And it all begins with a clean mind. And the key to this is found in Psalm 119. So let's see how God teaches us to do what Jesus says we must do when he says go and habitually and continually sin no more. Now, you know, remember, we're not talking about a slip-up here, because we all sin, and if we say we don't sin, we're a liar. I'm referring to those continual and habitual sins that the salvation we've been given through the blood of Jesus Christ has delivered us from. So we're going to look at three simple truths described in Psalm 119 to keep a pure heart, which all begins by cleansing our minds. The first thing we have to do is admit that we have a problem and we're a sinner, and get clean, and then affirm our purpose to stay clean. And finally, apply the power, which is the Word of God, to keep clean. We're going to see all of these right there in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. So we just have to know before I read this scripture that the battle today is in our minds, our hearts, and our souls. This is all part of our psyche. You know, we're to be cleansed in body, soul, and spirit. And our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. And that's where Satan has established his stronghold. So I'm going to read Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word I have hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and I have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Wow, I'm telling you, there's no doubt there that the psalmist was being used by the Lord to instruct us on how to have a clean thought life. So what we're going to do now is break down those scriptures, those seven very rich, rich scriptures, and we're going to see how to clean our minds. So, you know, just again, listen to what it said in verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Now remember, there's three steps, and I pray to God that the Holy Spirit just etches these three things on your hearts and makes them part of your very being, because when you understand this, when you assimilate this truth, you're literally on the path to a clean, pure life. And it all begins right here with these three steps. So now, if you're not having a problem with sexual lust, like that woman at the well, and when Jesus said that if you even look upon a woman with lust, you commit adultery in your heart, you can still apply these same three steps to virtually any spiritual problem, like anger, unforgiveness, pride, even gluttony. The principles are all the same, and that's what's so exciting about this. So let's see what our Lord has to say. Well, first of all, admit your problem or sin and get clean. Again, from verse 9, I'm just going to keep emphasizing these key points in these seven verses. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now, when he says his way has to be cleansed, he's implying that he knows his ways are dirty, and he must get clean. Now, the word way in Hebrew conveys this idea of a rut. If you ever lived out in the country or you've ever had a farm, you know how those dirt roads develop ruts. And that's like a groove in our mind, you know. So a person with a filthy mind has a groove in his mind, or they're a one-track mind. You know what I mean? So it's like a muddy old rut in the mind, and the thoughts always run that way. like the wagon wheels run in that rut on the dirt road. So if you can just picture that, that one-track mind, oh, he has a one-track mind, he's a pervert. You've heard people say stuff like that. So the first thing we have to admit is that there's a way in our mind that's wrong. And that has to happen before we're made whole. You know, Jesus said in John 5, 6, I think it was, wilt thou be made whole? So if you don't want to be made whole, if you don't admit that there's a way that you're on that's wrong, turn this message off. It's not worth listening to. Not maybe porno or some other corrupted thought process. Like I said, it might be anger or unforgiveness or pride or even gluttony, whatever it is. Some secret fantasy, some fear, some doubt or unbelief. First of all, you must admit you have a problem. Okay? Now, if you do that, you're on the way to being cleansed and living righteously and in purity. But if you don't admit you have a problem, you're never going to get free and be made whole. You know, remember when I was talking about Jesus asking that question, wilt thou be made whole? That's what has to happen before sozos will occur. And that's to be saved, healed, or delivered. And he always asks that, wilt thou be made whole? So first of all, we have to admit we've got a problem or a sin and get clean. So wilt thou be made whole? Now, God will never cleanse an excuse or an alibi, but he always cleanses a sin. So we can be cleansed today, but you have to confess your sin. So I don't care what your addiction is. I don't care what your problem has been. I don't care what you've been thinking, feeling, or doing. I really don't. Today, you can be made clean by the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace of our Most High God. And you can be made as white as snow by God's word and the blood of Jesus Christ, washed by the water of the word and cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that awesome? So remember this passage. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to the word of God. So the instrument of cleansing is the word of God after we've been washed white as snow by the blood of the Lamb. So if you don't admit you're clean, that you need to get clean, you're never going to win this war. So first of all, we have to admit our problem and get clean. You know, Jesus said in John 15:3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And the word clean here in John 15:3, it's a Greek word, karthasmos. I'm not real good at pronouncing these Greek words, so excuse me. But it's the word from which we get the word catharsis from. Now, a catharsis is a cleansing on the inside and like a completely rebuilding or rebirth. You know, a butterfly goes through a catharsis, you know, from a caterpillar to a butterfly. In the same way, Jesus is going to make us clean on the inside through his word. You know, he said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So just picture the cleansing blood of Calvary and the washing water, the word, as it just makes you clean. And then this fresh breeze of the Holy Spirit as it moves through you and washes over you and makes you absolutely clean, as white and pure as that snow. You know, in 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9, John wrote, if we confess our sins, he, that's Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So every man, woman, child can be absolutely, totally, perfectly clean by this blood of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the washing of his word, and this amazing grace. So just picture the Lord Jesus Christ coming into your temple right now, your body, and spring cleaning your mind and cleansing your heart and your life for him, okay? So just cleaning it completely and leaving it absolutely clean and pure is just the start. Now, there's absolutely no reason today that we all can't be pure like that. Don't you want to be pure? Remember, John says, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, have you ever cleaned your garage or your basement or wherever you have your junk accumulate where you live? You know what I'm talking about, the place where you just kind of drop it? That's the catch-all. You know, we have that kind of place at our place. You know, and if you've ever cleaned that garage or that basement or that place, you know, on a Saturday morning you get out there and you pull it all out, you throw it away, you sweep it up, and you get it just right and it looks so good. And then once you get clean, isn't it easier to keep it clean? But if it's not clean, then you just keep on dumping stuff there. It's just the catch-all, you know? Well, that's what the Lord's saying here in Psalm 119. So first of all, we must get clean in order to stay clean. We must admit our problem. We must confess our sin. So just pray, Lord, I do have a problem. I am a sinner. I have this secret addiction. I have this inward impurity. It's there. People don't see it, perhaps, but I'm admitting to you, Lord, it's there. And I know that your blood is all sufficient. I know that your promises are yea and amen. And I know by the authority of the Word of God, I'll be cleansed, and you'll make me clean, and you'll make me whole. Number one, that's the first step, okay? And if you don't take this first step, like I said, the rest of this message isn't worth listening to. So it's up to you, folks. Will you admit you have a problem? Will you confess your sin? Will you take that first step to get clean? And then, after you do that, affirm your purpose to stay clean. Listen again to verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Now, sadly, this plague that I see in the 21st century church is the half-hearted Christian. You know, Jesus referred to them as the lukewarm, and he said, I'll vomit you from my mouth, the church of Laodicea. So we must admit and confess with every inch and fiber and nerve and corpuscle in our very being, with all of our heart, we must admit and cry out to God. We must say, with all my heart I've sought you, Lord. Oh, don't let me wander from thy commandments. So I'm telling you, this half-hearted religion is an insult to God, and it does us no good. Remember, there's a battle in the heavenlies right now. And this isn't about religion. It's about relationship. It's about walking hand in hand with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if we're half-hearted, we're going to lose. Remember, James chapter 1, verse 8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In how many of his ways? All of his ways. All of his ways. And then in James chapter 4, verse 8, he wrote, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So remember, we're talking about our whole hearts being made whole. And then listen to what Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and all thy soul. So have you made up your mind that you're going to get clean and then stay clean? Have you ever said, I will, by the grace of God? You know, Daniel chapter 1, verse 8 says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So have you ever purposed in your heart not to defile yourself? Have you ever said, with my whole heart, I'm determined. By the grace of God, I'm determined. I will not behave this way anymore. Have you ever said that? You know, Job said in Job chapter 31, verse 1, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I look upon a maid? So Job said, I've determined. I'm not going to look at these women lustfully anymore. I'm saying it with my whole heart. I have determined I will not. So you say it with your whole heart. I have determined I will not. And by the grace of God, he'll supernaturally infuse you with a strength that comes only from the throne room of God. Now, we all have to come to that place to have victory. And if we don't come to that place, we're going down, folks. So the point here is we can't be half-hearted in this battle. The point is you and you alone must make that decision. And nobody else can make that decision for you. Your mom can't, your dad can't, your spouse can't, I can't, only you. So you must admit your problem and then get clean and determined to stay clean. And you have to do that. So are you willing to fight to death to stay pure? You know, back in the days when it was fashionable to hunt for fur, you know, for fur coats, there was a white fur coat that came from the ermine. And the way the hunters used to catch these animals, they were a very, very clean animal. They used to smear filth and you know, manure and feces on the holes to the burrow of these beautifully furred white ermine. And then their dogs, their hunting dogs, would chase these ermine back to their burrow. And the ermine, they would see this filth, and they'd refuse to defile themselves and get dirty. So they'd turn and fight the dogs to death rather than to defile their precious, pure white coats. So are you willing to fight to death? How important is it for you to be pure? Do you really want to be pure? Have you said, like King David did, with my whole heart, with my whole heart? Have you said that? Well, if you don't say it, and just forget this whole message, folks. I'm telling you that. So we must admit our sin and resolve to get clean, and then we must affirm our purpose and stay clean. And if we don't do it, we're going down, I'm telling you. And I'm telling you, there's never been a generation so close to going down. I mean, completely going down. And this is the day. You know, the hour is late, and Jesus is about to return, and this is the time that we all need to do this. Now, here's the third and final step. If you're willing, and then stay clean, apply your protection to keep clean. And that protection is the Word of God. So it's simply not enough to get clean and say you're going to stay clean. We need our protection, which is the Word of God, the Bible. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 9 again. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? How does he do it? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. So the Bible is our antidote against porno and lust and any vain image that may come between us and knowing God in relationship. You know, we're to take every thought captive and obedient to Jesus Christ, and this is how we do it. So let's look at how to use the Word of God to purify our hearts and to keep our hearts clean and pure. You know, Jesus said he sanctified us through the truth. Thy word is truth. But how? How do we do this? What are the steps? Well, first of all, we need to memorize the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11. Yes, you should be memorizing scriptures. You should be doing that. Take a week and memorize two or three scriptures. And if you can't do two or three, do one. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. That's what that means. It's in black and white print, folks. It's so clear and so simple. Thy word I have hidden in my heart, that I should not sin against you. Remember, heart's another word for soul, and soul is mind, will, and emotions. So how do we operate? How do we remember things? You have a favorite recipe? Your friend's phone number that you remember? Birthdays that you remember? You bury them in your heart. You memorize them. Do that with the Word of God. So the Bible, the Word of God, is our one true protection. And if we don't load up on the Word of God, I'm telling you, even though we may purpose to stay clean, we won't stay clean. Now, I love this old saying, so just listen up here. It's so good. These hath God married, and no man shall part. Dust on the Bible and sin in the heart. So I don't care how pretty your Bible is. I don't care how precious you say it is. If it's not in your hands every day, and if those words aren't just going through you and washing you, there's sin in your heart. There's no way it can't, you know, because you're not being cleansed by the water of the Word. So in other words, we must get into the Word of God. So do you have a daily quiet time with God? Do you have a time when you just get alone with God? A time when you take mega doses of the Word of God, like some people take mega doses of vitamins? Do you have that time? If not, no wonder you're failing. No wonder you're going down. You may have a high, high one night at a prayer meeting, and then the next morning, you're down in the midst of a deep and defiling sin. Now, you may say, oh, the Bible's wonderful. The Bible's so good. The Bible's great. But I want to ask you this question, folks. What's worth more, a gold nugget or a dime? Well, everybody knows a gold nugget's worth more. Now, let's take both of them and go out into the ocean to the deepest channel in the Pacific and drop them both onto the ocean floor. Now, which one's worth more? Well, practically, neither one. They're worthless. The point is, you can't get to them. There's no diving vessel that can go down there and retrieve them. So they're worthless. And the point is that the Word of God is worth no more to us than a 10-cent piece of candy if we aren't reading it. So if you're not putting it in your heart and in your mind, it's worthless, folks. And furthermore, not only should we memorize the Word of God and get it down to our hearts, Paul tells us why. Right here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, all those things are found where? In the Word of God, praise Jesus. And so when you reflect on them, you'll see that this is actually a description of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Just like the full armor of God over in Ephesians chapter 6 is actually a description of Jesus. So are all these attributes that Paul listed for the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 8. So then Paul says in verse 9 of Philippians chapter 4, those things which ye have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So God's saying, fill your mind with all that's right. And what's right? Jesus. Jesus is our all in all. You know, Pastor Adrian Rogers taught me one thing that I'm so grateful for, and it's so true. And that is that we can't have two thoughts at one time. So if you're thinking what you ought to think, you cannot be thinking what you ought not be thinking. It's true, folks. Try not to think about a zebra. You know, that equine-type animal that has the stripes on it that you all see at the zoo that's been characterized or caricatured so much in popular literature. Try not to think about a zebra. Okay, are you not thinking about a zebra? Of course not. Everybody's thinking about a zebra now. Try not to think about a zebra. You can't try not to think about a zebra. The point is you got to think about something else. So if you're thinking what you ought to think, you're not going to be thinking what you ought not be thinking. So what we ought to think on is the Word of God. So we must hide God's Word in our hearts. We must bury God's Word in our hearts. Things that are pure, lovely, virtuous. If there are any praises, think on these things. So we're to load up on the Word of God. Not just read it. Remember, we're to memorize it. Commit it to memory. Now, if there are any impure thoughts in you right now, like the venom from a rattlesnake bite, you've got to have an antidote or something that'll counteract it, you know, that'll just kind of erase that impure thought. And what is it? Well, that antidote is the Word of God. So every night before I go to sleep, my last thoughts are the Word of God. I take a scripture verse and I just ponder it. I roll it around in my mind. I meditate upon it. And then when I wake up in the morning, my first thoughts, unless there's some kind of emergency like the dog's sick or something, usually it's the Word of God. And what I'll do is I'll praise our Lord from the instructions that Naomi gave Ruth before she went to meet her kinsman redeemer, Boaz, who's an image or a foreshadowing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She was to bathe, she was to anoint herself with oil, and then dress. We're to bathe ourselves with the washing of the Word. We're to anoint ourselves with the Holy Spirit. We're to say, Lord, fill me up with the Holy Spirit. And then we're to lift our hands up and be dressed in the garments of praise. That's all found in Ruth chapter 4. And I believe I did a message on that somewhere in the archive. So we must memorize the Word of God. But not only memorize it, we have to personalize it. Psalm 119, verse 12 says, Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. So what good is it to memorize if you don't understand it? So personalize it. You know, facts from the Bible, no matter how good they are and how amazing they could be, are only facts. The point is that we can't separate the Word of God from the God of the Word. So God must take his Word and teach it to you. How? Via the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And he instructs us, or he leads us unto all truth. So he will teach you, but you must be willing to be led. That's the point. So God wants to teach us the Word, but we must be willing to be led. So just pray, Dear God, teach me thy Word. Lord, I want to know your Word. So I'm telling you, it's not enough just to memorize it. You must personalize it. And there's five simple little steps each time you open up the Bible and look at a particular scripture. Just jot these down. First of all, ask yourself, what's the lesson to learn? What's the sin to avoid? What's the blessing to enjoy? Is there a promise to claim? And is there a new thought to carry with me today? So just ask yourself those five questions. What's the lesson to learn? Two, what's the sin to avoid? Three, what's the blessing to enjoy? Four, what's the promise to claim? And five, what's this new thought with me to carry today? And if you take those five questions and apply them to practically any passage in the scripture, these scriptures are just going to burst aflame. For me, they kind of like literally levitate off the page while I'm reading them. It's amazing. They almost go into like three dimension. So just cry out, teach me, O God, thy word. So we must memorize the Word of God. We must personalize the Word of God. And then we must verbalize it. We have to speak it. Psalm 119, verse 13 says, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. So after you memorize it, and after it's become personal to you and you understand it, then begin to share it. Verbalize it. Speak it. You know, biblical truth is where confession and possession are linked. So you confess God's word to be true, and then you possess it as your own, and you link them. And I'm telling you, that's a powerful, powerful way to live. So take the word of God, and then when everybody else is cursing and swearing and telling dirty jokes at work, just articulate the word of God. Just let it be declared from thy lips. Use it in prayer, use it in praise, and use it in your testimony. Speak it to yourself, you know, and God's word is just going to move through your heart onto your lips and from your lips back to your heart again. And the more you do this, the more you give away the word of God, the more the word of God will stick with you. Just try it. In the book of Revelation, it's known as the word of our testimony. Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. It says there in Revelation that they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony. And that's why we ought to be singing praises that contain scriptures or scriptural truths. And that's the reason to give your testimony. So memorize the word of God and then personalize it. Just say, Holy Spirit, teach me. And then you'll be able to verbalize the word of God. So we need to speak, share, and sing the word of God. Praise Jesus. The psalmist said, his praise shall be continually in my mouth. Psalm 34, verse 1. Now, you may be wondering, why? Why the Bible all the time? Why 24/7? Why? I like football. I like going golfing. You know, I like hanging out with my friends and having some beer and some wings. Why the Bible 24/7? Ken, you're a freak. Well, it's all about staying clean and pure in a vile and corrupt world. So memorize the word of God, personalize the word of God, and continually verbalize the word. And then what's going to happen is you'll be vitalizing the word. Listen again to what it said in verse 14 of Psalm 119. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimony as much as in all riches. So is that true in your life? Do you really rejoice in the word of God? Is it the greatest and richest and most precious possession that you have? Or are there other things that you value more highly than this incredible word of God? Is your car more precious? Is your bank account more precious? Is your trophy wife that you have now because you dumped your first wife and family more precious? Does God's word mean more to you than any possession that you possess? David said so. He said it right here in Psalm 119, verses 14 and 15. He said, I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So, do you stand in awe of God's word? Do you? Do you have true respect unto God's ways? Listen to Psalm 119, verse 16. This is so powerful. King David wrote, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. So just listen to these words again from verses 14, 15, and 16. In verse 14, he said, rejoice. In verse 15, he said, respect. And in verse 16, he said, delight. So rejoice in the word, respect the word, and delight in the word. And the point is, when you do that, you're vitalizing the word of God and understanding how truly rich and wondrous it is. And when you stop and think about it, an impure mind is actually a mind that's trying to find this vitality and this contentment in some other place other than God. You know, it's a mind that's been brought into the devil's snare, so to speak, and bought into his lies. The joy can be found somewhere else, and there's fulfillment outside of the word of God. There's riches outside of the word of God. The devil says, you know, you don't have to spend all your time in God's word. There's a place over here that you can do some really cool things. And if you don't, you're going to be missing out. But the truth is, you're not going to miss out when you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your all in all, like Paul said to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 11. And then Israel Houghton, he wrote this song called Jesus at the Center. And one line in it goes like this, and we're going to worship to that in just a few minutes here. It says, from my heart to the heavens, Jesus be the center. It's all about you. So just hang on here. In a few minutes, we're going to lift our hands up with Israel Houghton, and we're going to worship to it. You know, it was amazing on the last Tribulation Now show. Me and Johnny were just worshiping in that music at the same time, and we were having a good dialogue there. And it just all kind of clicked. So listen to that show. That show was on January 14th, and it was probably around the half-hour mark, and it went on for about 20 minutes. There was a powerful move of the Holy Spirit, though. So if you want to listen to that song, just Google it, Jesus at the Center. It's the Decade version by Israel Houghton and New Breed. It's powerful, powerful. So don't feel sorry for me, folks. I'm telling you, don't. I'm a Christian, 100% sold out for Jesus. So don't feel sorry for me that I don't do certain things anymore that the world does. The truth is I've found my true joy, and that fulfillment comes only through Jesus Christ. And that happens when you have a respect for God's word, and you rejoice in God's word, and you know the riches of God's word. So vitalize it, and don't sell out too cheap. You know, don't sacrifice the important, you know, at the altar of the immediate. So there's a lot of things that are urgent in our lives, but they may not be important. Just remember what's important. But not only must we vitalize it, then we must internalize it. Psalm 119, verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts. Now, this concept of meditation isn't that old Eastern teaching where you empty your mind and you say some stupid word like oom. No. You're to fill your mind. The Christian concept of meditation says to take an idea, a thought, a word from God and ruminate upon it. Like a cow chews its cud, that's one concept. And then there's another we're going to get into. But this idea of rumination, you know, cows have multiple stomachs. And they'll go out and they'll graze and they'll fill their stomach up with clover and alfalfa and hay and all that stuff. And then they go under a tree and they lay down and they regurgitate. And they chew the cud. So they just chew the cud. Well, we're to take that word in, just like the cow assimilates the alfalfa. And then later in the day, we're to ruminate on it. We're to meditate on it. So that conveys this idea of just drawing upon it and chewing it, you know, just ruminating on it. Then there's another idea this word meditate in the Christian teachings conveys, and it's the idea of humming. Do you ever get a tune in your head and you just can't get it out? Well, like Israel Houghton's song right now, you know, Jesus at the Center. That one's been on my head. That's why I mentioned it to Johnny on the show on Wednesday night. And we're doing some Sozo's videos where we're actually sharing a walk with Jesus through some of the photos. And we've got songs by Matthew West and Jason Gray and Big Daddy Weave, songs like Redeemed and Remind Me Who I Am and Hello, My Name Is and Strong Enough. And now we're going to do Forgiven by Matthew West. And those words, as I do those videos, just they're on my lips all the time. Look how, listen to the word, listen to what the word has to say about meditating. And they're all in Psalm 119. Verse 23, princes did also sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate on in thy statutes. Verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Verse 97, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Verse 99, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Verse 148, mine eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. Wow, I'm telling you, it's all in one psalm. Meditate, meditate, meditate. So ruminate or chew on that word. And then hum it. Just declare it. Let it spill forth from your lips in songs of praise. So after we've internalized the word of God, we're to meditate on it. And please understand, this takes quiet time. This takes a time of concentration. So you have to get away from all the noise of this world. That's why it's important to have this quiet time with God. Just get alone with God. You know, at first this might be a little rough to do, to develop this quiet time. It's like riding a bicycle or driving a stick shift. But after a while, it just becomes second nature. And then what happens is, as you do this, as you start to develop this quiet time with the Lord, it becomes automatic. So in the times of intense struggle, and you won't need to even concentrate anymore. It'll just become second nature to you. And in those toughest times of the day, those words of God will just be coming upon your lips and your very being. You won't even have to stop anymore and say, what should I be doing right now? Why should I do this and not that? The word of God and his instructions and his statutes and his commandments, they just become second nature. And then you have the word of God operating in you as an integral part of your being. And you don't have to ask any more, should I do this or shouldn't I do that? Because the word of God has become woven into your very fiber. It's become part of your DNA. And then and only then have you truly internalized the word of God. And then when the word of God has become such a critical part of you, Your mind is under the blood. Your mind is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And your mind's filled with the very Word of God. Praise Jesus. And then you can practice what the Lord Jesus preaches, which is to go out and sin no more. You can establish and maintain a godly Christian home. One man, one woman, till death do they part. And honestly, this whole thing that our kids are being taught right now about safe sex, that's horse hockey. Safe sex? That's like saying safe sin. There's no such thing. I'm telling you, it's sacred sex. And that's the best sex and the only sex we should be talking about. You know, the marriage bed should remain undefiled. One man, one woman. That's sacred sex, and that's how God said to do it. You know, when God says, thou shalt not commit adultery, he's not saying, I want to keep sex from you. He's trying to keep sex for us. That's the point. You know, God loves us so much, and one of his greatest gifts to us was this sex between a married man and a married woman. So don't mess it up. And if you have, just realize that you can be made as white as snow, but you have to admit your sin and get clean. Then you have to affirm your purpose and stay clean. And then you have to just, you have to apply the supernatural power, which is the Word of God, to stay clean. So bury the Word of God in your heart right now. Just let him flow through you. And don't tell me it won't work if you haven't tried it. Just don't do that. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereunto according to what? Thy Word of God. So, dear Father, I just pray that you'd seal this word to all of our hearts today. And Lord, I pray for so many young men and women out there, and even older people, that they may learn to walk in the purity that can be in them through your word. Just fill them with this joy that only you can give them. Father, I pray this in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I love you all, so let's lift our hands up and pray with Israel Houghton. And make Jesus our all in all, because Jesus truly is our all in all. I love y'all.
We worship you this morning, Lord. We declare together that it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus, at the center of it all. Sing it. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, and nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. The center and say, Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been you. Nothing else matters. Nothing.
shall confess you, Jesus.
Provided the Lord's willing.